Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Lecce at the San Siro, which finished 2-0 to the hosts. Goals from Matteo Darmian in the fifth and Hakan Çalhanoğlu on a penalty in the 69th minute. As always, I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, maybe not the most aesthetically pleasing performance yesterday, but one that left me with a lot to talk about here. How are you feeling after Inter gets their first 3 points of the year? Actually, well, now it's 4 points, I guess, but first win of the year.
First win, yeah.
To start the campaign here.
I mean, I'm happy. You know, three points, clean sheet kept. I think that's huge too. I think that instills some confidence in your defense and your goalkeeper, who, you know, made up for a howler last week, and I think he played a very solid game personally. But yeah, very happy with the outcome. I'm sure, like some other Interisti, we always want more goals, but at the end of the day, it's about getting 3 points, and I don't care how they come. I don't care if it's a fluke goal that bounces off of 8 guys in the box and ends up in the back of the net. As long as we get 3 points, I'm happy. So,
yeah, it was interesting. There was a lot of nervousness going on from some Interisti on Twitter regarding the game, which, you know, I understand they didn't completely put it to bed as early as we would have liked, but I wasn't worried. I felt super comfortable with how we went about the game yesterday. So it was jarring some sauce day for my family, which was awesome. Got to see their victory. I know you coached this morning, so we're coming at you for this reaction a day later, which I watched the game back again this morning and have some thoughts. I'm happy that I did that. So we'll jump into it now. A bit of groundskeeping before we get into the game. So Lautaro did not take part in this fixture. Got injured.
Thank goodness.
We didn't need him. So got injured. Apparently it's just fatigue. So expectation is that he's going to be back for Atalanta. But he was watching the game from the box yesterday. In other news, Thiago Tomás Palacios, our 21-year-old Argentinian backup left center back prospect investment that's being made, is in Milan, looking to take his medical tomorrow. We'll dive
the next
more
some will.
The next some will. Some people are saying
let's throw the pressure on.
Definitely a height difference there. The potential
a bit, right?
Might be there, but the height difference is definitely there. 6'5". 21-year-old, not even sure if he's done growing. Let's see how this shakes out. But we'll touch on the Palacio stuff probably in an episode at some point this week. Looking to bring someone on that's watched a little bit more of him than we have, has the details on the transfer, and we'll talk about him a little bit more. In other news, Dumfries potentially renewing a meeting. Oh. Johnny's not looking too happy about that, but
oh, sorry.
We have a potential renewal. He played his 100th game for Inter. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I tweeted about it. 99 games more than I wanted him to play. So
I saw you tweet that, which is why I brought this renewal up.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can get that done. If not, then, you know, looking at potentially losing the player for free. So let's see if that
listen,
gets done.
None of us want, like, deep down, like, no matter how you feel about him personally, I don't want to lose someone for free, no matter who they are. Even, like, I'll take anything, you know what I'm saying? Like, whether it was for Gagliardini, Sensi, I would have taken anything instead of losing them for free, but it is what it is.
Could not agree more. Oaktree made their San Siro debut. Catherine Ralph, she looks like she's having a good time.
Does she to you?
I think, you know, like, Pepe's getting her a little riled up with his reactions to the goals.
I don't know what to think. I don't see.
Do you think she's sitting there enjoying the football, or do you think she's sitting there looking at Thuram and just seeing dollar signs?
I don't think she's doing either. I think she's sitting there wondering why she has to be the representative there. That's what I think. I don't think she knows. Like, she doesn't. I don't think she would even know that Marcus Thuram is worth, you know, potentially $80 million.
Who knows? Who knows? But it's good to see some sort of representation from the ownership after Jang couldn't make it.
Hey, she's two for two last year. She's two for two.
She's been to both games, so good to see that. And then lastly, huge shout out to Nico Bocuzzi for repping interviews at the San Siro. That was amazing to see.
Thank you. Coolest thing to see, man. Like, seriously, like, I saw you tweet that, and I was literally, my jaw hit the floor. I was thrilled to see that. I know he has the Inter kits. He's bought them. And for him to, like, bring that, forget about the fact that he wore it. The fact that he even just brought it with him to go to the season opener at the San Siro and wear it, that's awesome. So, yeah. Can't even express how appreciative we are of that.
Yeah, I showed my fiance and she was like welling up. She was so like excited and happy.
That's awesome.
We were like, that's just awesome. So thank you to Nico for doing that. Hopefully we can get some more merch out there. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the podcast. All right. Let's jump into this game lineup going into the game. So because of that Lautaro injury, Taremi makes his debut from the starting minute, accompanying Thuram up top. Midfield, same as always, Mkhitaryan, Barella, Hakan, the wings, Di Marco, and then Darmian over Dumfries, which I want to ask you about that here in a second. Backline, Bastoni, Acerbi, Pavard, and Sommer in net. The Darmian over Dumfries was the only real like doubt for me as far as the lineup is concerned. I am of the belief that Dumfries is the better player at this point and provides more offensive firepower, but Darmian ends up getting on the score sheet today. Not considering the game whatsoever, did you think it was the right decision to go with Darmian over Dumfries at this point?
Personally, I think so, especially with the uncertainty around Dumfries. You know, like, you know, if you don't know whether he's re-signing for sure, you don't know if you're selling him. I think it was smart to not start him, because what if he does get an injury? Then you lose any type of value and any type of opportunity to get him out the door. If that is the plan, like, we don't know. We really don't. Things could materialize. And then, although I think there's not enough time for it to materialize with the way we move, because let's say we did sell him, I don't think we would have enough time to get a guy like Ndoye or anybody else in the way. But regardless, I do think it was the right move. When he scored, you were actually the first person I thought of.
Really?
Because literally, yeah, I was like, here we were talking about he brings nothing offensively, and there he goes offering something offensively. And I thought that he was a little bit more willing to get in the box. He was willing to make those runs from the right, not just sit back and you know, hand it off to Barella and then drop back into defense. I think he was a little bit more active. I did think he fatigued much quicker than he has in other games. You know, I thought he maybe around the 35th minute, I thought he was already looked like he was dying out. But I do think it was the right call personally. And it's not even because of anything with Dumfries. I think whoever it was, whether let's say it was like a Buchanan who, you know, we don't know if he's re-upping or going out. I think that you play the guy who is in your squad that you know is going to be there. And then, you know, you figure it out after the window if someone's there or if they aren't.
Yeah. Looking at Lecce pre-match, just trying to get a sense for what they do, everything, at least in that first game, ran through their left side with Antonino Gallo, and Dorgu was on that side. Interesting.
No, Banda was on that side.
In the first game, it was Dorgu. And then in this game, Dorgu was what I thought was the reason why Darmian was getting the start, because, you know, maybe a little bit more solid defensively, a better defensive partnership on the right, Darmian Pavard than Dumfries Pavard is. And then Dorgu ends up playing on the right hand side and things get a little switched up. So I don't know if that was a little tactical wrinkle, but listen, I'm still of the idea that Dumfries is the starter and Darmian should not play super often. but he did show a little bit more than he's been showing. So that's positive. I'm not gonna complain about it. Hilarious report that Dumfries was unsure about signing because he wants to be the definitive right wing back over Darmian. It doesn't make any sense because he was the definitive right wing back over Darmian. The only reason that Darmian played as much as he did last year was because Dumfries got hurt. So, and this, the start of the season is no indication. He got back later than some other players. So it's just hilarious reporting. People just saying things for the sake of saying things. So, all right, let's get into this game. So first half, first 5 minutes, absolutely dominant. An awesome goal from Darmian, which also ended with a Taremi assist. I'll actually share the screen here, so maybe we can actually
make sure
watch
it's on mute
this
time.
Talk about it. Yeah, can you see the screen?
Yeah.
So DiMarco gets the ball, crosses it in. Taremi gets up high to get to it, and Darmian's just in the right place, just pokes it right into the back of the net. Just a good veteran positioning from him, and a good goal, and a well-deserved hot start for us. How important do you think it was for us this game, considering what happened against Genoa, that we started on a positive foot in front of the home fans and got out to that early lead?
Yeah, I think it was very good to score quickly. I think that alleviates a lot of the pressure, not just off, you know, the team, but also you know, it takes a little bit of the, ooh, what's going to happen from the crowd out of it too. So I thought that it was really good to be able to get a quick one, get the fans like amped up, riled up. This is the first one that they played at the San Siro since getting that second star. So obviously the fans were excited. They wanted to see a good performance. And I think that with the way that we came out, like literally like all gas, no brakes was the right way to attack this game. And I think what we saw later, we can get into in the second half that, you know, it by getting one quick, it prevented them from being able to play 10 back, you know, for long periods of time if it dragged out 0-0. You know what I mean? So, yeah, very happy with that good start. And, great ball in, like you said, from DiMarco. Taremi, I don't want to say that he was trying to assist that. I don't think he was. I really think he was trying to put that on, and it kind of just, you know, grazed him.
Too high for him.
Yeah, it was. But I love the effort. And then Darmian, like you said, right place, right time. Our Swiss Army knife always seems to come up big when we don't expect it, really. Like, it's not even like that, you know, I expect him to score goals, but sometimes he'll, you know, he'll chip in a goal here and there or have a brilliant assist. And he's class. And I think that in my lifetime, he will go down as one of the most underappreciated Inter players because of just what he's able to offer in so many different positions and in different ways too.
I agree with you. And I think that every team needs that, like you just said, it Swiss Army knife, where you can just feel good about where you're putting them. And listen, I've gotten on Darmian a lot for the recent,
which is fair.
Yeah. But you're right. Like, I don't want it to come off as unappreciative. And also the difficulty, there was a level of difficulty to scoring that goal. He's not seeing the ball until super late. Like, you don't know what the outcome is going to be off of Fatemi's head. It came on him pretty quick. And you saw Arnautovic in the second half. We'll talk about it. But his first touch, a set piece, he puts it right over the bar. Like, that came on him. That was a much easier position to score from than what Darmian had.
You think so?
Yeah, because
we can get into that one, because yeah, I had thoughts that I shared with in a different group chat, but anyway, we can talk about that.
Yeah, so just well done from Darmian on that, in a header that was a little bit more difficult than what you might initially expect if you look at all the context. I want to talk about this. After we were on them for that first 5 minutes, it looks like the game plan was to get an early goal. And then there was a drop off, not necessarily a drop off and like we started playing poorly, more of a drop off of like, okay, now let's let them attack us a little bit. Like, we want to, we're up 1-0. Let's absorb some pressure and then hit them on the counter. That's what it looked like to me. Did you feel like that drop off was more tactical? Like, this is the sort of game flow that we're looking for? Or did you think like this is indicative of we're a team that goes up and then takes the foot off the gas?
I took it as, I think Lecce looked at this game as, look what happened to us against Atalanta, where we left ourselves a little too open at the back, allowed for opportunities. Atalanta had plenty of opportunities to win that game, not just 4-0. They could have won 6-7-0. And I think, and again, this is just my opinion, that we looked at it as like, let's get a quick one. We know what they're going to do after that. They're just going to sit back now and try to not make it, you know, get any worse. And they'll try to, you know, maybe get an equalizer somewhere along the way. And then that's it. Like, they'll shut down shop if they're able to equalize. So I think that they achieved their goal. And then they were like, now we'll just make sure that they don't get any opportunities. And really, they didn't have really any threatening opportunities, I think, until the second half with Krstović having a pretty good shot on goal. But, you know, do I like that game plan? Probably not. You know, I would have liked to have gotten another one in the first half and then been able to just say that's it. They're not, you know, because I didn't see any goals really coming from Lecce in any way, shape, or form. So if we got a two-goal lead, I kind of knew it was over at that point. But yeah, I think it's a mixture of tactical and then also kind of playing, you know, chess with them, knowing what they're going to be trying to do. So it's like, let's just get that quick one and then really, you know, coast the rest of the way. That's kind of how I saw it.
I do wonder if it was Inzaghi game planning, knowing that we're coming off of preseason, the guys aren't in full fitness, and we also have Atalanta at home coming up, which is the more critical game. So what is Atalanta doing, by the way? Hello? You got me?
Yep. Yeah, we got you now.
Sorry about that. All right. So, are we going to splice this up?
So, if you thought you were still recording, it'll keep recording it. Like, I'll think I don't hear anything, but it'll keep recording whatever you were saying.
Yeah, my
unless you got out.
No, it says no internet, but it's also saying uploading like 95-96%.
If it's uploading, then you should be good. Okay. I'll be able to listen. Let me just, you know, I'll write down the minute mark and see what I can, you know, when I check it back.
I think it was like 16:15 or something like that.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, with Atalanta coming up, I do think that there maybe was a little bit of, okay, you know, we have the goal, let's sit back a little bit and save our energy, possibly hit them on the counter. And we saw that the couple other opportunities that we had for that first half, there was a Barella through ball for Taremi who tried to get to it. That was so, the through ball was great. The Taremi athleticism to try to volley that, I thought there was a couple spots that we saw that from Taremi today. Especially that overhead kick would have been the goal of the year. I wanted it so bad.
With the power behind it and the venom that he got up. Like, he really got up. I think if that ball was hit a little softer, it would have been easier for him to get a piece of. But my goodness, I did not know Taremi had ups like that.
It looked like he got up super easy. Like, it did not look awkward or anything like that.
It looked, honestly, it looked like it was timed to perfection. In the sense that, like, he knew, like, if he thought that it was coming at a regular speed, he's like, I got this. But that was a hard cross.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty much the first half. Like, you know, we got the early goal, took our foot off the gas, let Lecce come to us a little bit, created a couple more opportunities, but there wasn't a ton to get into. We'll get into some of the player performances after the second half here, which starts with, I just need to share my screen again to just show this control and pass for Barella to Turam's volley here just to start the second half. I mean, that is just gorgeous. It comes in into him pretty hot, and then he lays off the perfect the perfect.
I can't say anything about this, you know, because there's some people who don't share my love for Barella or think that I overhype him or whatever it is. You know, I don't know. They like to yuck my yum, and that's fine. But like, if you can't see the quality that he has and what he's able to offer, and that truthfully, if you could find me another midfielder who can do all the things that Barella does at the level that he does it, I'll delete my account.
And this is Barella. He can have a game where he's not, maybe not as influential as he typically is, and then still has the class is permanent. Like, it's just a perfectly,
and it's just it's moments. Like, he doesn't need. He just has moments of brilliance, even when he's not playing. Because this wasn't his best game by any means. No. Not even close. But he had a few moments in this match where you're just left with your jaw on the floor. And I can't think of anyone who can do what he does.
Thuram should have probably done better with that. And I also liked how Thuram held his run on it. But it was just, like you said, a moment of brilliance from Barella.
And even with his ability in tracking back yesterday, like being defensively sound, being able to recover balls and start the counter, I loved it. I really did. Like, yes, do I wish he puts in 10 out of 10 performances every match? Yes. But nobody is perfect. Nobody. So it's like,
not many people are playing the amount of games that Barella is playing either.
Yeah.
I mean,
this guy is
just crazy.
He's
got a lot of minutes on those legs.
Knocking on wood, like I want him to be able to stay healthy, you know, forever, because he's just that important and that influential to this team. And I think that without him, we are a much, much weaker club in the midfield, for sure.
Without question. I mean,
I was trying not to go there.
Let's get into it later. So second half keeps rolling on. We're more on the front foot now. Thuram has a nice little like pullback side foot behind to an on-rushing DiMarco. That was really nice. Taremi gets a one-on-one with Falcone where he actually plays it across Falcone. I forget exactly who made the challenge, but I think it was Gaspar. Did you think anything was in there? Watching it live, I thought penalty, 100%.
Really?
When I saw it live, yeah. I thought he came through. But it looks like it was more incidental contact.
Yeah, I didn't think penalty when I saw that. I think I was trying to remember if it's Gaspar. I forget if it was, you know, you're right, it was Gaspar, because at first I thought it was Gallo, but it wasn't. Also, I mean, it's funny. I felt bad for that guy because you could see the frustration in his face with how bad his defense was getting cut up in the back. But yeah. But yeah, no, I didn't think penalty there. Yeah, nothing in it for me.
Yeah. But eventually, Thuram does get fouled. Pretty much like a football tackle to bring from Gaspar to bring Thuram down. And then Çalhanoğlu converts his 18th out of 18 penalties for Inter. Just a perfect penalty. Just perfect.
Yeah, I don't get nervous when he goes up. I know the streak is going to end eventually. I know no one stays perfect forever. But I'm so calm when he's up there. I feel like he just knows, and he doesn't let the moment get to him. He is very cool. He's very calm. He places it only where he could, like, not only where he could put it, but where no keeper. I think if Falcone even dives that way, there was so much venom in the shot that I don't think he's able to even do anything with it. At best, he gets a fingertip to it, and it still ends up in the back of the net.
I think so much of it is in the run-up. Like, if you just look at...
It's a short one.
Run-up is not... It's short, and there's not a lot of...
It's like one, two, three. Like, literally, he does three quick steps, and he fires. There's no wasted movement. There's no hesitation. He knows where he wants to put it. And I think that's key too. When you're able to put it put your foot through the ball with conviction and confidence, that makes it also, you know, a lot easier to get those goals. When there is hesitation, like with Jorginho or with anybody else, who you can kind of see when they step up to the ball if they are confident. And, you know, I think back against the shootout against Atleti, I didn't see any confidence in any shooter outside of Hakan. So, but yeah, very, very happy with that. I'm happy for him to keep the streak, and I'm hoping, I don't know what the record is for Serie A, but I hope that he breaks it if he's not there yet.
So I think you described it perfectly. Like, no wasted movement. He just steps up to the line. You know that he already steps up to the spot. You know that he already has his place picked out, and he just puts it in. Inter goes up 2-0 in the 69th minute. And from there, it's, you know, again, coasting. There was one big opportunity from Lecce. We'll talk about it. But eventually, Augusto Dumfries come on for the wingbacks, and Fratesi comes on for Barella. I would imagine it's a save Nicolo for Atalanta kind of substitution.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Did you think it was interesting that it was Fratesi and not Zielinski to make his debut in front of the San Siro crowd?
I didn't think so because of the debut aspect. I thought it was interesting because of what the game needed. It needed some of that creativity and that person who could either take a shot from distance, be able to pick out a man in the box and be able to, you know, maybe offer a little creativity and flair. You know, we know the limitations in Fratesi's game. So, and I was like, if Taremi and Thuram aren't breaking it down, why would Fratesi be able to? That was my thought. Not that I thought, you know, that he was, you know, I thought maybe later if we, you know, if you brought Zielinski on and then you brought him on, it would be like Fratesi on, it would be a good move. But who knows? Maybe he has a little bit of a knock or something that we don't know about, that they're not making a big deal about, and they're just trying to save him potentially for the Atalanta match, because that would be a little bit more where you would, you know, if you do make an early substitution, or, you know, Mkhitaryan, let's say, takes an early yellow, that's a guy you want to be able to have available for a match of that magnitude. So,
of the three midfielders, I believe the most ineffective one on the day was the one that ended up playing the 90. So I think it was a matter of Varela and Çalhanoğlu, like, let's just get them off their feet a little bit. Fratesi, I think, so the two substitutions for the wingbacks, I think we're going to see those four players, Dumfries, Darmian,
always, yeah,
Carlos Augusto, and Di Marco, every game. I think those are, two out of the five substitutions are always going to be the wingbacks. What is your expectation for Fratesi's playing time this year? We know what he was used as last year. Do you think there's going to be an increase in his playing time this year? Maybe, again, with a lot of games and with what Barella's already put in, that he's going to be seeking to try to get Barella off his feet more? Or do you
think we're saying more minutes that we think, like, over the season, like, yeah, compared to last year?
Yeah.
I think he might get more minutes compared to last year. I think he's still going to come up behind Zielinski.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That's fair.
I think he'll be able to carve out more time, and I think there will be more rotation in the midfield. But I think at the end of the year, we're going to see Zielinski have more minutes total.
I hope so, and we'll get into why in a little bit. Arnautovic comes on for Thuram, so we get to see, it was for Thuram, right? Yeah, I believe so.
Hold on. Didn't,
I think were they? Taremi got,
you're right. Yes, it was. Yeah, it was for Thuram.
So Arnautovic comes on. I thought he was good. I thought he like did good things. I know there's that as his first touch is blazing it over from a, you know.
See, to me that was a very tough header. For me, the ball's coming in. He's running onto it, and he gets down and he lowers his head to try to get under it to be able to put it on goal. And what he does, he gets too far under it and puts it over. Yes, do I wish he would have done better? But in my opinion, that is, as someone who's played striker, that is always a tough ball to gauge and to be able to measure. You know, in retrospect, do I think maybe he tries to chest it? But I don't even think that's a good idea, because if you do, it probably goes too far off his chest and he's not able to control it. So, listen, he's the fourth striker.
Yeah.
He's not playing 90 minutes. He's not, you know, keeping a guy like Lautaro on the bench, or even, let's say, in the banter, keeping a guy like Barbosa on the bench. He's a fourth striker for a reason. You know, like, I don't expect him to be coming in and just be this incredible player. We have the upgrade that we wanted with Taremi, who had to play this game because of Lauti's injury. And had he not been there, who knows? Maybe it's Taremi doing that, you know, getting that opportunity, and maybe he does better. We don't know. But I think overall, like, you take that opportunity away, if you look back on the offside that he was called for, that didn't look like it was offside to me.
This game?
Yeah, this one where he played it off to Mickey and Mickey missed the net by like 400 feet.
The Aslani switch ball to him. I mean, first of all, in a great space, like good movement. I don't see, now that it's very likely that he's going to be our fourth striker, I don't see why Interisti can't, like, why can't we get behind Arnautovic and like root for him to succeed? Tell me, like the- tell me what you think is the better department. Lautaro, Thuram, Arnautovic, Sanchez, or Lautaro, Thuram, Taremi, Arnautovic? I mean, it's clear. It's clear.
Yeah. So do we, it's not even
we
a question.
Don't have a better, yeah. We're not going to ask him to do that much. We're not going to ask him to do that much.
So. No. Like, and barring any injury, like, you know, I just don't get, it's funny, like seeing the hate that he gets. I just, you know, I think the problem is the price tag. I think that's what people are hanging on to. And I don't like the price tag either. Like $10 million to me was a waste. You're not going to get that money back. Never in a million years. You know, so I don't fault the player though. It's not like he said, hey, I'm worth $10 million. Come pay $10 million. You know what I'm saying? Like Bologna laid out what they wanted and they got it. Simple as. You know, so like,
yeah, it's just a waste to like keep shitting on him at this point. It's
it know, is, it here, is like
he's here, he's he is well here.
This is his last year, this is the last year's contract. Once it's done, he's not getting renewed. So, why are we like, I don't know, I don't get it. Do I wish we had Dzeko instead? 100%. Not gonna pretend I don't, like that guy was class, but you know, you could if you want to be upset at somebody, blame Lukaku because if he didn't do that whole drama, yeah. We don't have to worry about this. And yep. We probably have Dzeko still.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a conversation that like we've been having. And at this point,
yeah.
I think it should be
he's the fourth striker.
He's the fourth striker. Like can we just
let's he
just...
loves I want guys though too who love the colors and want to fight for the colors. And he does. Yeah. He loves Inter.
It seems like a great teammate. Like whatever. So
yeah.
He had a little like back heel through ball. Like we
which
talked
I like
about,
that
he had that switch. Dude,
I like the flicks, man. I like people who have creativity, have flair.
Yeah, he brings something.
Listen, I'm telling you, I have a feeling. I don't know when, but I feel like one game this year, he's gonna come big in a big moment for us, and all is gonna be forgiven.
I hope so too. I hope so too. So the rest of the game plays out pretty. I mean, it's pretty. Your normal veteran, yep. See the game.
Nothing to worry about.
2-0 in front of a sold out crowd at the San Siro. Good. Good vibes going into Atalanta after, you know, a tough draw against Genoa. All right, question. Are we still in preseason mode? Or was this veteran performance? We're good. We're here. We're ready for Atalanta.
I think chemistry-wise right now, we're still in preseason mode. I think there's some connections that you know, just haven't been developed yet. You know, Thuram and Taremi didn't get to spend a lot of time together, which was something that kind of upset me with something that Nima tweeted, that they don't, that Thuram and Taremi don't have the chemistry that Lautaro and Thuram have. Well, of course not.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know what you're expecting them to have when they haven't had that much time together. They didn't have a full preseason to train together. You know, Thuram came a little bit later because of, you know, participating in the Euros. So he had a little bit longer of a break. Like, of course, that chemistry is not there. And this is their first time playing up top in a meaningful game together. And I think, overall, I think that it was a pretty good performance given their circumstances. Yes, it wasn't perfect. Yes, the chemistry wasn't how it is with Lautaro. But, I mean, what do you expect? Like, were you expecting them to just, like, have, like, a sixth sense of where the other one is? Let's not forget, Lukaku and Lautaro didn't have good chemistry initially. You know, that took a little bit. Lukaku was scoring goals, which goals and wins, you know, they cure all, but they weren't clicking on all cylinders themselves initially. So like, let's give it a little bit. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, I think it's like crazy, crazy normal for them to be where they're at right now. I did think that they were like playing super close together. It did seem very narrow,
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think it was intentional because they seem to combine in tight spaces well together. Like you saw, Taremi is a bit of a, he likes the dummy a little bit. He likes like, he's looking, they definitely worked on Thuram being close to Taremi, but just behind him because he is so good at using his body like to feint a little bit. So Lautaro and Thuram don't do that nearly as much. They are a little bit more spaced out, but I think it was intentional to see that.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that because you see Taremi wants to do quick playoffs and then run off the shoulder of the defender to be able to get the ball back. And I think that's a lot easier to do when you have your other partner that close to you to be able to give a quick pass in narrow spaces. So, I mean, yeah, I think that we're going to see an improvement in the chemistry there. As the season goes on, I think there's going to be more confidence between each other. And let me tell you, I loved everything I saw from Taremi. I really did. I think he's a lot better than advertised. You know, from what I saw even at Porto, I wasn't too crazy. You know, I know I gave Nima a hard time about him because, you know, some of his goal scoring, you know, exploits, I was jokingly saying were against, you know, pig farmers and sheep herders. But, you know, the guy has great ability on the ball. He's great at link up play. He's willing to move off the shoulder of the defender and find himself in spaces. And he's got a nose for goal, which you can't teach that. So, yeah, very, very excited to see what he's able to do the rest of the year. And hopefully he has a massive year for us because we do have a lot of competitions to be partaking in.
Yeah. Yep. I think he'll come good. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Last thing on the game before we discuss these players, I also thought for all the narrative around the Inter is more defensively shambolic this year. I mean, I saw it being talked about on Serie A Sit Down. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter just saying like we're more defensively fragile. Lecce didn't do anything. They had opportunities on net, but they weren't dangerous opportunities whatsoever. Like right at Sommer, that last Berisha shot from outside the box was the most dangerous thing that they did. And Sommer made a great save to get to it, but they didn't do anything. And admittedly, I didn't watch the whole of Lecce Atalanta, but just looking through the numbers, which I do after every week and just seeing, you know, where teams are standing, Lecce had the highest expected goals in round one of teams that didn't end up picking up a point. I think they even had a higher expected goals than Juventus against Atalanta.
That's pretty crazy. Wow.
So Inter deserves a little bit of credit here. There are some good players as far as Lecce's attack is concerned, with Christovic, Banda, Dorgu. So for a team that is constantly getting talked about as being defensively frail, yesterday was a good little punch back as far as that narrative is concerned. Okay, players. Let's start with the two veterans in the back line, Sommer and Acerbi. For you, was this a bounce back performance for these guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was very pleased with both of them. You know, I'd probably would say in terms of defense, I think Acerbi was the best defender out of the three yesterday. Was very happy with him. You know, I was worried, you know, that the age would start catching up, and maybe it will later in the season. I do hope that we start rotating or figuring something out there. But and Sommer, I mean, I thought his distribution was great. I thought that, to me, you want your goalkeeper to make big saves, and he was able to do that again. He seemed very calm back there, but he's always seems calm. You know, I don't think there's ever any panic in his game, even though, you know, his height is a bit of a disadvantage. I thought he was very solid. So yeah, definitely a bounce back for both of those guys.
This just in, Torino has beaten Atalanta 2-1.
Milinkovic-Savic made a penalty save late in the game on Mario Pasalic.
Paolo Vanoli.
Retegui would have scored. I'm just going to say. I'm just going to say that.
Retegui did score. We should throw that out.
No, I'm saying he would have scored the penalty if he was the one taking it. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but he did have a really nice header today. To your point about Somers distribution, by the way, 0 for 5 on long passes against Genoa, for 4 for 4 on long passes against.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 0 for 5. I was like, holy cow, wait, what?
Nope, 4 for 4. But so, all right. Yeah, definitely a bounce back performance as far as Somers is concerned. Again, did not have a ton to deal with, but that Berisha save at the end was a great save. Acerbi did seem more in control, whereas in the first game, it felt a little bit more chaotic. I do think Genoa is going to be difficult for a lot of teams in that respect. They're just a little bit, they want to out physical you, and Acerbi had a problem with it. So
Genoa just won their game yesterday too, you know. So it's like they're no slouches, you know.
90 minutes for both Pavard and Bastoni. My only two notes here. I did not miss Bissek at all. I know there was a ton of like hyping Bissek up this preseason. Pavard is world class. He's safe. I feel good with him out there, and I just like everything that he does.
Yep. I would agree with that 100%. You know, some people are saying like, "Oh, how do you punish Bissek for one mistake?" I'm like, "You punish anybody else for a big mistake. Do you not?" You know, like, so like why would he get any different treatment? And you have, like you said, a world-class player like Benjamin Pavard on the bench. Like, how do you just keep him on the bench? And you're like, oh, yeah, we just keep playing Jan Bisek, who's not nearly as good of a defender and a distributor and really everything else. It just made no sense to me. So, but I was happy he was back.
With all the Bisek, like, shooting this guy's stock to the moon, like, Pavard didn't fall off. You think, like, he wasn't playing in the Euros, but Deschamps is not, I mean, I thought he should have played over Koundé, but there's no fallout from Pavard. He looks good. No. I'm glad he got the 90, and I want to continue to see him in the starting 11. Bastoni, I thought, was good. It just seemed like the end product was a tiny, tiny bit off, but just a solid performance. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, nothing crazy. I thought some decision-making was a little off, too. There was a few chances where he had an opportunity to release Di Marco on the wing, but then he turned inside and tried to give it to Hakan in some tight spaces where he ended up being, you know, dispossessed. But yeah, nothing too bad. I mean, you know, it just could have been an off game from an offensive standpoint, but I felt like he was solid in the defensive solidity. So yeah, very just, you know, good game from Bastoni, not great, that's all.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the strikers here. Let's go up the pitch. So we spoke about that, Amy. As far as Thuram is concerned, I thought his hold-up play was really good. He's super tough to knock off the ball. And I want to throw out this note here. 22 goal contributions from Thuram last year. If you include the number of penalties that he's won for Inter, this would be 29 goal contributions, almost 30 goal contributions in a season and a couple games.
That's awesome. He's a guy that I'm worried about in terms of, you know, if he were able to keep him after this year, not because of anything other than I think somebody's going to come calling because of his quality, man. He offers so much, his ability in space. I love when he gets the ball on the left and is able to bring it in on his right and has the opportunity to either cross it or, you know, take a shot or cut out and go wide. Like, he could beat any man. I don't think there's many defenders in my mind who can outclass him. I mean, yeah, outclass him when he's attacking them. So I love him. I love him. He was phenomenal yesterday. Yeah, he didn't get on the score sheet, and he may had, I would say, one or two opportunities he probably should have scored, but he did in the end get us a much deserved penalty. You know, it's funny. I see Juventino, one guy specifically, was talking about how, you know, again, Inter get the softest penalty that nobody else would have. Buddy, if anybody gets tackled like a linebacker, anybody, I don't care who it is, whether it's, you know, I don't even know who the striker is right now for Milan, but, you know, if it's Vlahovic or whomever, if they get taken down like that, it's a penalty. I'm sorry. Like, you could put bias aside. That's a penalty for anybody. Like, he literally got tackled. Like, Gaspar thought he was playing, you know, backyard football, anyway, it was
wrapped around him. Like what
around him, and he pulls him down. Yeah. Like they may the conspiracy theorists and the blatant bias is so funny from other clubs that just hate us.
It's just very insecure.
Very. And they have no confidence in their own club, so they have to find things to poke at or things to look as conspiracy to feel a little bit better. That's what it really comes down to. But, you know, and his passion when he gets up and how excited he is and how happy he is to have earned that. And then even the confidence that he had showing, you know, in support of Hakan scoring, his arms were up before the ball was even in the net.
Yeah.
I love him. And I do hope that he's someone that we can keep for at least, you know, one or two more years, not just, you know, two seasons, because I think his partnership with Lautaro, I don't think anywhere that he could potentially go, I don't think that he will have the same type of production because he doesn't have a partner like Lauti, whether it's, you know, he goes to PSG or wherever else that, you know, could potentially afford him. I think leaving Inter would be a massive mistake, but that's, you know, for another time.
It's been a massive mistake for a lot of people.
For so many. Yeah. No, good shout.
We haven't seen much of it this year. We haven't seen much of it, but I was thinking, which trio do you think has the higher ceiling? 2022-23, Lukaku, Lautaro, Dzeko, or 24-25, Lautaro, Thuram, Taremi?
I'd say this one. I think that we have better finishers overall, you know, compared to those. Lukaku misses a lot. He does. And Taremi doesn't. He really doesn't. When he has a chance in the box, if he has a clear cut opportunity, I don't think it's going to go wide, or I don't think he's going to, you know, shoot it directly at somebody else's feet, or he's not going to get in the way of a ball going in the back of the net.
Way more mobile.
Yeah. Way offers way more. He's better in the air. Let's be honest.
Better at tight spaces.
Maybe not better at hold up. I would feel better about the pass that Taremi lays off more so than the pass that Lukaku would lay off. So I mean, yeah, I would definitely say this trio, hands down. It's not even up for debate, really. Like if you really look at it objectively and you break down each player's strengths and weaknesses, this trio easily beats, you know, the 22-23 one.
I think the, like, no doubt piece of this for me would be Lautaro 2022-23 heading into his prime. Lautaro now in his prime. Lukaku and Dzeko of 22-23 were two players who started declining. And while Taremi is at the age where you would expect a decline to happen, he did have an injury last year, and it wasn't his best goal-scoring year. So let's just, for the sake of argument, put Taremi in the declining category. Thuram is the difference maker here. This is a player who is ascending into his prime, hopefully. Knock on wood. Hopefully. So that's why I would...
Maybe not hopefully, so he stays. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just... I think Taremi is the perfect foil for Lautaro, Thuram, like the perfect player to come off the bench and just play with these guys. We needed something different than what Arnautovic and Alexis are giving us. And even though it's only been a short amount of minutes, I just really like what I'm seeing from him.
And just playing devil's advocate, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. Take the free transfer aspect out of this and what the cost of the other player I'm going to mention. But do you think that Taremi is going to be better for this team than, let's say, Arretegui?
Do I think Taremi is going to be better for this team than Retegi for Inter?
If Retegi was the guy we brought in. Yeah.
Was the guy we brought in. I think with what we are competing for, we're not looking for a striker in the development phase. We're looking for a finished product that can come
in. You think he still has to be developed?
Retegi?
Yeah. I think his hold-up play, not hold-up play, yeah, I think his hold-up play and his helping in the build-up needs to be polished. But I think in terms of finishing, goal-scoring, fox-in-the-box kind of stuff,
yeah.
I think that's already there. I'm not saying that I want him over Taremi. I was just asking, just because of look at the start that Retegui's had so far.
Yeah.
Just curious your thoughts, but yeah, no, I would agree with you.
I'm a big fan of Rettigi.
I'm the biggest fan.
You're the biggest fan?
I honestly wish the Atalanta kit was nicer because I probably would get his. I was going to pull the trigger on him with the Genoa kit for this year because that's clean. But of course, now he's at Atalanta, and I don't really like those kits.
I think another argument you could make for Rettigi over Taremi is that you have Taremi Arnautovic at the back end of your striker depth, and those are two plus 30-year-old players.
Yeah, so, I wasn't even trying to like bring it up because, yeah, obviously if you're bringing the age, then yes,
it's an interesting.
I was just talking about just right now, pure like who's going to help the team more. I mean, yeah, like it's you could save Taremi, but yeah, if you bring in all the other factors, I think he's a no-brainer.
Okay, let's hit on this midfield. Barella and Chala. Chala, 18 for 18 on penalties, 41 for 45 in his career, something insane like
that's pretty sick numbers, yeah.
Made me think about, like you said, you were talking about the confidence that was displayed against Atletico in the penalty kick shootout. Not a ton of it. Who would be your five today?
Ooh. Now, okay.
Today,
this like
season, who's your five?
Am I accounting that if substitutions are made? Or am
your
I just saying, give my five, my ideal five?
Your
okay.
Ideal five.
Ideal five, Hakan's going first. I'm having Taremi go second.
I'm not going to put them in order. I can't even.
That's fine. I'll put them in order because I'm kind of picturing this in my head. I've got Taremi going second. I want two guys that I feel confident are both going to score because the goal for me is for them to miss or save, like Sommer save one in the first three.
Yep.
That's my goal. That's what I'm hoping for. So I want two guys that I'm like, boom, boom, 2-0. You know, or 2-2, worst case scenario. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My third penalty kick taker, I'm going to go with someone a little bit outside the box, but I just feel like that this guy would be solid on penalties. And I'm going to go with Bastoni. I think that he would be a good guy to take. I really don't have confidence in Lautaro to take a penalty. I don't know if I would want him to take one in like, let's say we're in the Champions League final. I don't know if I would want it to be one of the five, but I would go with Pavard. Damn, I have confidence in him. What, you did too?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that a damn it? Oh, you're just mad that I picked him?
I thought I was going to have the, why didn't I think of him? But you fucking came in there. Jesus.
No, yeah. I've thought of him. And for the fifth one, it would probably come down to either Di Marco or Barella. I don't know how I would feel about Barella taking one, to be honest. What do you mean I didn't think about it?
There's an obvious answer.
There's an obvious answer?
Yep.
Okay, well, now you'll be able to share it, and I'll look forward to being like, oh, what an idiot. But I'm probably gonna go with Fede because I think that he has it in him. I really do. And I think the disappointment he has for not finishing the one against Atalanta that you could make the argument cost us that Scudetto in Zaghi's first year, I think that he carries that and I think he craves another opportunity to make up for that. So I would want Di Marco to be the guy to put the icing on the cake, run over to the curva, grab the mic, start screaming and singing, and yeah, that'll be the dream.
For me, in no particular order, and I like your takers, those are all people that I consider. For me, I'm going to do Hakan and Taremi, lock it in. Absolutely lock it in. Zielinski, if I can get him up there to take a penalty, lock it in. Yes, that's the one that I...
That's the one I didn't even think about. Oh my gosh. Yep, that's...
He hasn't been on the team long enough for you to like... It's an obvious one, right? Like you absolutely.
I would take Bastoni out. I would leave Pavard and Di Marco, but I would take Bastoni out and bring Zielinski. Yes. Wow. Good call. Good call. Yeah. Well done.
He's got to be there. And then we're the same on Pavard. I still want Lautaro taking a penalty for me. So that's fine. Yeah, I still want Lautaro taking a penalty at some point during those five. I don't know when, but this is our captain. And I feel like there's an element of it's just not his thing. It's more bad luck, but I think he's capable of it. So I'm going to stick with Lautaro. Last thing on just Barella and Chala. Not their best games today. And like it was a 6.5 from both of them. And it was a 6.5 for Inda. Is there an argument to be made that these are the two, like Inter goes as these two go? Whatever level that these two are playing at, that's what the team's level is going to be. Because I think these are the two irreplaceable spots in the lineup. Chala goes down, you have no faith that Aslani can come close.
Zero faith in Aslani. I am. Barella goes down.
Even Zielinski or Fratesi, you have no faith that they can. These two.
Zielinski could be close. Not, I mean, not but close, but like close. Yes, still, but he's the closest one. Like he's the one. Like, yes, I don't want Barella to go down by any means. Definitely not Hakan. But if you told me we're losing Hakan and Aslani's coming in, or we're losing Barella, I would feel better about Zielinski coming in than Aslani ever coming. Like yesterday, I got very frustrated with him with a few turns in the midfield, putting himself in danger, giving Lecce opportunities to hit on the counter
outside the box. Yeah.
Right outside the box, mistiming, not releasing Arnautovic like sooner on a couple, or was it Thuram? It might have been Thuram or Taremi. It might have been Taremi. Yeah, he didn't release Taremi. I mean, buddy, this is your third year in this system. How have you not figured it out? Like, I am truly over the Aslani experiment, and I think that I'm ready to if Fiorentina wants him next summer, I'm taking that offer, whatever it is.
Should have taken the 18 mil, honestly, for him.
We probably should have, because then that could have been gone. You know what? That literally could have gone to Dan Endoy, and then I would have been fine with a Primavera kid, backing up. Not that that would be ideal.
No, I would have taken if I could have played this out perfectly. I would have done Aslani out the door, Tessman in the door, and then that money gone towards Ndoye. If I could.
I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, yes. Yeah. I would. That would be, but I don't, we don't, we're Inter. We don't operate in perfect world.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, is this hypothesis that whatever they do is the level that Inter is going to be playing that day? Is that right?
I mean, I think so. I think as they go, Inter goes. Like Lautaro is extremely important. I'm not going to say that he isn't. But if Lautaro has an off game, I think that we're still good enough with the other guys to be able to get wins. If Chala and Barella have off games, you see the dip in form. You see it affects not just them two. It affects everybody around them. Everybody. Nobody is able to do anything without those two being able to play even close to their best games. Or even good games. But yeah, I think that our worst performances, and you could go back to last season as well and look at the tapes, were when they both were struggling and they both weren't, playing to the best of their abilities. And the games that we lost, which ironically were to a relegation side in Sassuolo, right?
Yeah.
Both those guys, you could make the argument, were not good in either match.
Yeah.
So
it's so two worlds where on one hand it's like we have two out of our three in the midfield are world class players, and then on the other hand you're kind of like shit, like if anything happened, like again, knock on wood, like this team is way different without those two, way different without
it's not like, and at least in years past we had Brozovic starting, and if he got hurt, Hakan could slide there and he could pull somebody else from the bench. Now, I have zero confidence in Aslani. I really do. I would like, in a perfect world, we would have had Tessman, but it is what it is.
On the notion of not influential, let's talk about Mkhitaryan. Two games in, and I have seen nothing. Nothing. Like that ball that Arnautovic played over to Mkhitaryan went over the bar. It was offside, but it felt like he was more involved. And I don't know if the team isn't finding him or his positioning is not right, but I don't know what's the point of having the engine on the pitch if it's just not involved. I really am curious to see what this midfield looks like with Çalhanoğlu, Barella, Zielinski, and I don't know how much longer it's going to take to see it, but
I'm hoping it's Friday night.
He's having a slow start to the season.
Yeah, he is. There's no hiding from that. There's no denying that. Yeah, it's hasn't been fun to watch. I'm trying not to like nitpick on it, but it's like I don't understand how one player can have so many continuous poor matches where he's literally offering nothing and then continue to get a run out. Like if we're doing this with Bisek, why does Mickey never seem to get the same treatment? You know, when Barella had a bad game against Milan a couple of years ago, the next match, what did Inzaghi do? He benched Barella. He brought him on in the second half at the start, but he did not play him, which I think is how you should do it. Like, if you play poorly, you should be punished. You shouldn't be rewarded or feel like your spot is guaranteed. I don't get it, but I don't know. Maybe Mickey's holding, you know, Simone's kids hostage somewhere in Armenia. I don't know.
It's gonna get real untenable if these performances from Mickey continue when we have Zielinski on the bench and people want to see this player. Like, he's been one of the best in Serie A for the past 11 years. I've said this over and over and over again. Like, I'm ready to see him. I know the injury happened and whatever, but really wanted to see him against Lecce because Mkhitaryan was a zero. And I'm ready for it. I'm just ready to see what this...
Yeah.
What I think the peak of our powers, Zielinski is in the lineup with Barella and Çalhanoğlu. And I want to see what that looks like. I
want
to see
it. That midfield would cook. Now, I do think that Atalanta is going to be a good test because I do like what they have in the midfield as well over there. So it'll be interesting to see what Inzaghi does. And I think that, you know, we'll see. I mean, Ederson was getting cooked by Ricci today. So who knows? Maybe Hakan will have the same type of output, but we'll see.
Okay. We talked about Darmian, his performance today. Just real solid all throughout. We talked a little bit about Dumfries. I will say that in 18 minutes, Dumfries had one cross. In 72 minutes, Darmian had one cross. So a little bit of contrast there.
Okay, but who did... Now, who's connected?
I think they both connected. Actually, I think the Darmian's cross was the Taremi.
Actually, his was the Taremi one. You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
So point lost. There you go, Huyan. There's a point for you.
DiMarco... Two games in, and if you look at the pass maps, DiMarco is playing left winger right now. He's high up the pitch.
Way up. Very high. Way up, way up. He's a third forward without getting in the box.
It was his cross that Emi poked over to Darmian, but outside of that, not very effectual. Do you have any worries about DiMarco's sort of slower start to this this campaign?
No, I don't. I think he does pick it up after a few matches anyway, so I'm not too concerned with his starts. And we have Augusto there. That if he, you know, if this is, you know, a trend that continues, I feel confident that Carlos Augusto may not offer the same thing going forward, but I do feel that he'll bring solidity to the back. So. Well, I mean, obviously it's something to pay attention to and monitor, but I'm not too worried about DiMarco.
You brought up Augusto. Really liked what he did today. I think I forget who Nemo was talking about when he was talking about like this team needs more like grinta, this team needs like a bulldog. Who was he talking about?
I don't know.
I forget who it was.
He might have. But, are you sure he wasn't talking? He wasn't on Studio Vesuvio talking about Napoli. Are you sure?
Maybe
that?
He was talking about Napoli.
He might have been. He might have been. You know, that's he did just, that is his boyhood club.
Right, Nemo Napolista. He did mention that need for Grinta. I think Augusto is kind of that guy right now. He brings a little bit of like fight to the game. There's no duel that he shies away from. Like he's a lower your his shoulder kind of kind of player. He didn't have much opportunity today, but I just liked his cameo. It was energetic, rough and tumble kind of situation.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, listen, I'm a fan of Augusto. I've said it. You know, he was someone that wasn't excited about when we initially brought him in because I was a Robin Gosens supporter, but the guy's definitely won me over with every performance he's made. The effort is never lacking. The work rate is never lacking. I mean, I'm telling you, if he can develop some type of a good final ball to be able to cross into the box or offer, that would be a massive, massive player. So, yeah, hopefully that gets added to his repertoire and we're able to have, you know, two studs on the left wing there.
Yeah, I have high hopes for him him this year. I think his preseason performances were really, really good. And
yeah,
DiMarco is a guy that we know is going to need a break at some point. Give me a rating.
That much is true.
Give me a rating for Simone today.
Did not see that coming. I will go with a 7.5. Only because he didn't get Zielinski on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he didn't press the team in a situation where we didn't need to be pressed. Like, if we could get out of a game against Lecce with minimum energy expended, a 2-0 comfortable win, like, that's fine for me. I do not need to see us, like, hit that extra gear right now. It's early in the season, and we've got a big game against Atalanta coming up. What's your confidence level for this Atalanta? I'm feeling good.
I mean, yeah, you know what? I kind of got to go back and watch this.
Me too.
This Atalanta game. I want to see, you know, what it was that Torino was able to expose. I did see that a guy that I'm a big fan of, Ivan Ilic, got on the score sheet. So I'm gonna want to go back and see what he did. And you know what? That's another name that I would be interested in to see where he ends up, because he was supposed to go to Russia, which that fell through, and he ended up staying at Torino. You know, him, Frendrup, those are some guys that I'd be interested in for next year. But anyway, yeah, I wanna see that. But I'd say my confidence level is about, I don't know, 7.
I feel better after that game, honestly. I know that people weren't like super excited by it, but I'm cool with the mature. I watching it back this morning, like I was like, this is a breeze. These guys are in total control.
Yeah, like I mean, I want. I just want to get wins, man. Like, how are you going to repeat if you're not getting the wins? Like, do we really want just champagne football and not getting 3 points, or do we want 3 points? Like, that's what I want to like have figured out, and hopefully we can get things rolling and really show what it is that we're capable of, because I do think that this is a team that is going to be winning this, you know, lifting the Scudetto again at the end of the season. That 21st title, I'm honestly very confident in what we will be able to do. So yeah, let's hope that the boys are able to show up and do something on Friday against Atalanta, because listen, it's not gonna be an easy challenge. You know, I tweeted about Retegui, you know, licking his lips at the thought of going up in the air against Acerbi, which I do think that that's going to be a weakness, you know, for us if they're able to get crosses into the box. So hopefully our guys, whether it's Dumfries and Darmian on the right side, and then, you know, probably DiMarco on the left, are able to mark their men and keep them from being able to get those crosses into the box, because I think that's going to be the most important thing, and that's going to determine, you know, if we're able to get all 3 points. So we'll see. But I am curious, and we'll you know, we can, I don't know if we want to, well, we can maybe get into this later. I don't know, but I am you know, I'm this game is going to be a good gauge of what we're able to do in Serie A and how far we're able to go. You know, I think that a good convincing performance will certainly ease us into it, and ease us into the, you know, like ease our minds is what I really meant to say there. But yeah, it'll be good to see. I'm excited for the match Friday. I'll be interested to see what Simone wants to do with the starting 11. If he makes any changes, if he stays with the status quo, I think that he obviously is going to, if Lautaro's all good to go, that he's going to be starting up top, and it'll be Taremi on the bench. And who knows, maybe we'll get our wishes and get Zielinski from minute one. I think that would be good too. And I think that would be a little bit more pressure on Atalanta, not just in the midfield, but in defense as well, to make sure that they don't let either of those guys have a chance to get loose. And now Alessandro dropped, and he's giving me a call. So give me, we'll see what he says here.
Yeah.
Yo.
My internet's in the back.
No, you should be able to get back in. And I got you on speakerphone for this, so that's cool. All right. Awesome. Let's see if he's able to get back in, ladies and gents. I'll probably have to edit. Oh, there he is. Welcome back. Yeah. First-time caller, long-time listener. Alessandro Raffa has joined us, guys.
Hold on. This is a new recording now? Do we have the old one?
No, so I'll be able to get the whole thing.
Okay.
Don't worry.
All right.
Yeah, because I've been here the whole time, so I'm able to pull it. But
beautiful.
I was trying so hard to just keep that going by myself, and then you called me. I don't even remember now. I was.
It's all right.
It'll be interesting to listen back to.
You guys think podcasting is easy? Just wait.
It is not easy.
93 episodes in, it's not easy.
Not easy, man.
All right,
but you know, Ale has that. He has that. That hamster, you know, running his internet in his Brooklyn apartment.
I know.
Rent's so high, he's gotta have dial up or wheel up.
That's true. Stuff up. But either way, I think we're good to wrap this up. So you had an announcement for the fans.
Yes.
Podcast.
I gotta give a shout out to a guy who's come on a few episodes, Nick Costa. He's filled in a few episodes. Just had a little girl, watched her first Inter game this weekend, had an Inter shirt on. So very happy for her to experience her first win. Obviously, Nick, happy for you as well. You and your wife, you know, wish you guys nothing but the best, of course. But yeah, first W as an Interista. So good for her.
Hopefully she
never experiences a Scudetto-less year in her life.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be the dream. But yes, big announcement. So one of our obviously we partnered with Inter Club Boston on a t-shirt. They helped us come up with, we came up with the idea. They came up with the design. It's awesome. We love it. But it is up and live right now on, I will share the link in this episode, but JR Bell, one of our listeners, she makes incredible t-shirts. I have three of her t-shirts, two Inter ones, one Italy from the Euros 2020 shirt. Love them, great quality, and she has made these shirts available for our listeners. She's printing them. Sizes are available, obviously, on her website, but because we did this as a partnership thing, she's also offering our listeners $15 off on the t-shirts. If you just use the code INTERVIEWS15, all caps, 15, you get $15 off, literally 33% off the t-shirt, which is awesome. So, like, if you want it, it is, it's a Lautaro Martinez shirt. It's him with a bull head, like his head, a bull head, and it says Capitoro instead of, you know, Capitano. Freaking awesome. I love it. I can't wait to get mine. But yeah, so please support her. Use the code so you save money. That's it, man. I'll put a picture up as well of the t-shirt so you can see what it looks like, obviously. But yeah, follow her link. Go purchase. And if you want more shirts, she has awesome designs, you know, for other Inter ones that, you know, I have one that has, well, it has the one star. Now I wanted to have the second star, but yeah, awesome, awesome stuff.
Yeah. I wear an Inter jersey for every single game, but, these shirts are amazing. Like, it's a good way to just make sure you've got your drip with you when you're watching Inter and even when you're not.
Yeah.
Good stuff to lounge around the house with. So the Capitoro thing is
that's what I love. Awesome. Good comfy shirts. Yeah. And her shirts are all comfy, and I do lounge around in whenever, like, I mean, today obviously I'm not wearing anything Inter, but whenever I am watching something, I try to have something from Inter on. And it's most more often than not, because I tend to be running errands too, I'm wearing one of her t-shirts on game days. So yeah, awesome.
So check it out. We'll post the link to the store. You can get $15 off with our code. And I think that's it. Good to go.
That's it. Again, interviews, all caps, 15 for $15 off.
In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.